Hello, friends.
Hey, Shane, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Really good.
How was your retreat? You had sort of a retreat kind of for your business?
Yeah, I did. It was good. Lisa, our new director of ops, was supposed to be there, and she ended up not being able to come, which I will touch on in the Q&A section. But Jim and John both ended up coming, and we had an incredible time just planning for the year. It was a ton of fun.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. That's awesome. Sorry that she wasn't able to make it. I'm sure I'll hear more about that.
Yeah, me too. It's all okay.
Not great. Well, while we're waiting for others to join, why don't we just take a minute and you can share a little bit about that. I'm happy to engage you to start if you'd like.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I feel just terrible for her. So she's been experiencing vertigo, which I guess was an issue she dealt with a couple years back, like two and a half years ago, for about a month. And then it just, you know, kind of went away and, you know, hasn't had it since. But we ended up pushing her start date back a week. Her doctor told her not to fly because it's, you know, like inter-year stuff. So that's why she couldn't come on the trip. She was told forbidden from flying. But yes, yeah, so we actually pushed her start date back a week. And then she had another episode on Monday, the day she was then going to start. So it's been kind of a tough week trying to kind of navigate that.
I'm so sorry. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
No fun. All right. And Renee, how are you? Welcome. You're muted.
Doing good. We just had a power outage, and so it was a little crazy with the school, with all the kids, and trying to figure out when the power was coming back on, if I had to call parents or wait it out or whatever, but it all came back on after about 15 minutes. It's all good.
Good.
Yeah.
So glad to hear that.
Yeah.
So glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Now that's awesome. Okay, so I think we have enough people here that we will get started. What I do is I go through a 12-week cycle where I start at one at like module one, and I just start highlighting each coaching call, certain aspects of a training, or I might add things that are not in the training that you're only going to find in the group coaching calls. Today is the 12th week of that cycle, which means next week we start back over at module number one. Today I'm going to be presenting something that is not in the training modules that I intend to add. And in fact, I may just take this recording and break it up a little bit and turn it into some additions to the modules to help people think through how to do some of the stuff. And the reason is because I've just continued to update, methods. And, you know, I have private clients that I work with, and over the years, as I deploy and experiment and try new things, I just get smarter and better and more effective at doing things. So I try to bring those back into the program. And so you guys are benefiting from the laboratory experiment that my private clients pay for, and then you guys get the benefits. So that's what we'll talk about today. The deck I'm going to share a little bit of a presentation. It's super boring, unbranded. You'll forgive me because I kind of put it together at the last minute. I was like, I think I'm ready to start introducing this. So what we're going to talk about, let me get this up and running. Let me find it. There it is. Okay. Share. Okay. That didn't seem to work. That's weird. Every time I do a slideshow on Zoom, it pauses my screen share. Does anybody else have that experience? I've never had this experience before. Let me see if I can try that again. Because this has some builds to it that I want to make sure I get right. All right. Looks like it's not going to work for me. I'm going to try one more time. I think it must be a setting in Zoom somewhere. Where is Jim when we need him?
What's happening, Shane? Sorry.
Every time I hit present slideshow in Google, it pauses my screen share.
Oh.
Share individual window, share all application windows. I'm just trying to see here.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Section, screen share, capture mode, limit screen. That's so weird. Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. No one else has had this problem before. When you've shared like a Google slideshow, you can present, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will need to troubleshoot some more. I will spend time another time troubleshooting that. I'll try just one more thing. And then if that doesn't work, I'll just present it the other way.
I wonder if you need to share that specific window rather than like your whole desktop. I don't know if like my computer sometimes it shoots it over to a different, you know,
That's very, very possible. Actually, now that you say that, I bet that's what's happening. Let me just try to. Sorry, friends, this is annoying. Okay, so I've stopped sharing, right? Are you guys just seeing my face right now?
Yep.
Okay. That's really interesting. Let's try this. Ta-da! Dorothy, nice. You got it to work. Thank you. That was all you. Okay. Dorothy gets gold star today. The rest of you, no gold stars. So I hope you're earning your gold stars today. Okay. So today we're going to be talking about aligning action with strategy and goals. So a very, very common thing that most leaders have experienced at one time or another is they go, I've got these big ideas. We have these goals. We want to achieve these things. And so I want to get my team behaving in ways throughout the year that are supporting those goals and activities. If you have a larger company, as it scales, you have multiple layers. What starts to happen is people that are on the front line that are doing kind of day in and day out tasks, they start to kind of feel like this is mundane and boring and stupid. I don't know how it moves the larger thing, and I don't really know what I'm contributing to. And for some people, that really impacts morale. So there's a story, I bet it's apocryphal. I'm sure it's not true, but it's kind of a fun one to tell. And I think it gets at the heart of what this presentation is about, which is, I think it was JFK was he was wandering the halls of NASA one day as NASA was getting ready to put a man on the moon, and he saw a janitor mopping the floor. And he asked the janitor, "Oh, what do you do here at NASA?" And the janitor said, "I help put a man on the moon. That's what I'm doing." And it was kind of a fun awareness that he had that this guy seemed to know that this menial, mundane task that he was doing was actually contributing to some very large, important thing. And actually, what we find in the research is the more people's tasks are connected to those bigger actions, the more motivated they are. And so there's a particular method by which you can connect these two things together. And there's a tool I'm going to share with you. Not that you need to do it. You can do it using Excel spreadsheets and stuff. But sometimes this is a helpful way to think. Now, for some of you, this may be overkill. It's okay that it's overkill. I want you to be solution aware. You'll now have the appropriate management jargon available to you. You know, so when people throw out acronyms and things, you're going to learn some of those if you don't already know them. So the first thing I want to do is just at a high level, I want us to be aware that there's a sequence to the way an organizational, what I'll call philosophical architecture for how an organization can be built and designed so that it's pointing at the right thing and everything's aligned with it. And the first thing is vision. Vision is why we do what we do. And we did this, by the way, in the first module. So you'll see this again next week. I'll go a little deeper in it. But that's vision. Mission is how we do it. And then values are what we can expect of each other. So those are three important things. And when you do it right, you would do it in this order. You would establish your vision, mission, and values. Then, and vision, mission, values tend to be long-term things. They hold on for years and years and years. They should anyway. Goals are the target we aim for. Now, these goals can be quarterly, yearly, every 3 years, but they're malleable, right? They're based on what's happening. Now, out of the goals, this is what we want to get to. Strategy is, how am I going to achieve those goals? And the last one is structure. How do we organize relative to this strategy so that it supports the goals we're trying to get to? And so these top three are how companies or organizations make meaning. And these bottom three are how companies and organizations make money. And so these two things we know from all the research is that people perform better, want to join organizations, want to stay at organizations when they have a clear sense of meaning and money. These are the two things that come together. Most organizations pay lip service to how to make meaning. Many organizations just kind of get to work and piecemeal their way through strategy, goals, and structure. It's usually an afterthought. It's something you're building as you go. But there are all kinds of best practices and a body of knowledge around how to do all of these. The Next Level Leader program helps you see how to do all these things. And so module one is really about mission, vision, mission, and values. Module five really gets into goals, strategy, structure, things like that. And that's how you align action between those two is really how you have hard conversations, how you organize teams, et cetera. So we're at this kind of, how do we do goals and strategy? So the first thing I'm going to say is I'm going to introduce using objectives and key results or OKRs to establish your goals and your strategy. In fact, this method links goals and strategy together automatically. So you don't have to develop kind of a separate thing, which is another method you can use. There are lots of methods, by the way, and this is not the only one, nor is it the right one. I'm not an acolyte for this method. It is a method I like, and I'm going to teach it to you today. There are other methods like SMART goals. There are O's and R's. There are A's and O's. There's all kinds of different acronyms that effectively try to do some variation of the same thing. Some of the rules aren't the same. Some of the outputs are slightly different. But I know this one can work in a wide range of contexts, so I like to introduce it. This was pioneered by Andy Grove at Intel. So you know that it's been used at kind of the highest, most complex level to get large teams aligned, moving in the same direction at the same time. So with that, why are OKRs better than other methods? Well, the main thing is because I feel that they are the best combination of connecting aspirational goals that are more human, purpose-centered with really tangible, measurable outcomes. And when you get these two things together, there's once again, meaning and money all the way through the system. So that's the big reason. There are some other things here. One is they really help you focus efforts. There's so many things that you have to do in a year as a business, and this helps you focus all of your efforts. It helps you align actions. I'm going to show you how to cascade these through your team so that they're actually useful. They guide decision-making. They help you figure out, should we do this or shouldn't we? I don't know. Does it support our OKRs? They improve morale. Research has shown when people, like I said, when people know that me mopping the floor puts a man on the moon, I'm more likely to mop that floor better than if I just feel like I'm doing it for a minimum wage. And they give purpose. So that's kind of the reason that people use these things. This is optional for you. You don't have to do this. So if as I'm going through this, you're like, oh, this feels like a lot of work and I don't really have the time for this, that's fine. There may come a time where you go, you know what, we're really ready to take this seriously and to build an infrastructure that allows people to connect their day-to-day tasks with all the things that we're doing as a company. And so that's the big idea. The other thing I just want to state is OKRs are not meant to be exhaustive. It's not meant to capture everything that you do in an organization. It's more like that top 20 or 30% of the most important things. And then there's a whole lot of other stuff that happens in your day in and day out that are not going to be moving anything on an OKR. It's normal. It's okay. It's appropriate. So 20 to 30% of your day, hopefully, or at least week, is hopefully meaningfully moving towards a particular objective or key result. And then the other stuff is just day-to-day work tasks. They still connect. They may not always directly move the needle on one. So with that, how do you build an OKR? So it includes two parts. Number one is the objective. This is the aspirational or inspirational goal that connects with some kind of a purpose. And again, it should fall out of your overall company mission, vision, values, all that stuff. There should be some business objectives that are aspirational and inspirational. And then you have key results. These are tangible, measurable. It answers the question, the way we will know if we're making progress towards the objective. A key result measures performance along the way. And everything about OKRs is about time-bound things that have a beginning and an end. And that beginning and end could be a quarter, or it could be a year, or it could be 3 years. But it does have a beginning and an end. And we'll get into why that matters later. So the question is, what makes a good objective? I'm going to give a few examples now so you can think through, as you're looking at your own organization, how might this apply? The first thing is, an objective, let me ask you this. Is this a reasonably good objective? I'm getting a nod. What makes it a good objective?
Measurable.
Measurable. Okay, good. So objectives are actually not supposed to be measurable. So this would be not a very good objective for that reason alone. Say it was a trick question. I'm tricking you all. So objectives are meant to be that more human, aspirational, inspirational thing. This is an excellent key result. So to distinguish the two, increase our sales conversions by 2% is a great key result. It's measurable. I can actually determine whether we did it, how we did it. Okay, good. What about this one? How's this as an objective? Improve sales. Crickets. Join in the party, people. It's all right. Take a risk. Is it a good one?
It's not very aspirational.
Well,
I would say no.
Yes. Yes. So technically it works as an objective. You could do that. And you'd get a good B plus if you came to me and said, this is my objective, I'd say B plus, good enough, right? But if you want to actually make it more meaningful, how about something like transform the lives of more business owners? What if that were the objective? How might that change the way that people who are working towards improve sales? What new kinds of key results might they come up with? What level of passion might they bring to it that's different than just improve sales? You're now linking an objective with a higher purpose. Now, it doesn't always have to be this artful and this lofty, and especially as you get down into like what are kind of individual OKRs. Right now, we're talking company-wide. The company-wide OKRs you want to be meaningfully inspirational. As you get down the chain, it's okay that they get a little bit more tactical. So that's the big difference there. So what makes a good key result? Again, we're now trying to say, okay, if I'm trying to transform the lives of more business owners, do these first two do that? How are the first two as a key result?
Well, the second one has measurable aspects.
That's exactly right. So that would make that one better than the first one. But there's a trick question in that second one that makes it not a very good KPI or a key result. Why is that not a good key result? Anyone? Has to do with time. So if a key result is about something that has a beginning point and an end point. This is a difficult one to do only because it's an ongoing continuous thing that never is going to end. You should always be trying to hit that. That's called a KPI, which is distinct from an OKR. And that's so annoying in management speak with all their little buzzword lingo silliness. But KPIs should be removed from OKRs. They should be in a separate section of your business, which is here's how we know we're being a kind of successful in an ongoing way. You could turn this into a key result by saying, develop a new marketing campaign that hits the KPI of 10%. or rewrite an email sequence, right? So that's what I did down below. So I said, run an A-B testing to increase conversion to 10%. That's a really good key result. That's a tangible, measurable, time-bound project that you can undertake and determine whether it was effective or not effective. Rewrite follow-up email sequence to hit 15% click-through rate. You know, so now you're kind of in my land here, whether this is your business may work differently. I was just grabbing things that in my business, these are the things we think about, you know, like how do we hit marketing funnels and conversions and follow-ups and all that fun stuff. So these are really good. Those last two are really good key results. So how does this look practically in a business? This is a sample of an actual company, a private client I'm currently working with. We're rolling this out right now. I'm showing you what we built together. So across the very top in the bright colors, those are the objectives, four main objectives for the entire company. And below them are the key results that support or feed into those objectives. So one is build a sustainable runway to fulfill our mission. It's a startup company. So they need to raise $30 million. They need to establish $3.4 million of recurring revenue. Free more people from mundane hazardous tasks. Well, they sell a robot service, robot as a service to e-commerce companies. So they are taking jobs that are dangerous and repeatable and hazardous, and they're having a hard time filling those jobs. People don't want to do these jobs. They're low paying, they're kind of dangerous, and robots do it for them. So instead of saying sell more robots, they say free more people from mundane hazardous tasks. And suddenly you feel a sense of we're making a difference in the world. Even though we're selling robots, we're making a difference in the world. So they want to deploy software solutions to at least six new projects. Make our product efficient to build and sell. So this is how do I take these robots, make it more and more efficient to build them? So at most, $140,000 cost of goods sold. So to sell a product that costs us 140 grand, if we can get it below that, we know we're doing great. From purchase order to deployment needs to be under 4 months. So they have long sales cycles. And if it gets to 6 months, it's starting to cost them money. So they want to get that down to 4 months. And the last one is create and scale a talent magnet team where people thrive. So now everybody's seeing, okay, we want a 95% employee retention. We want to increase employee engagement benchmarks. And then we need to think about maybe we should improve our hiring speed. And we got a question mark there because we got to figure out what's been our hiring speed now, what's the benchmark, how much do we want to improve it by, and then that creates the metric. So comments or questions about any of this before I keep going? Make sense to everybody? So you may or may not choose to do this. It's okay if you don't. But where it really starts to make a difference is when you take company-wide objectives and key results and you begin to cascade them down through the company. So here's what that would look like. You can have these cascading OKRs that you have as an organization. You have four big OKRs. And then you have a team or a department or a group of some kind that influences those OKRs. And then you have individuals that are part of those teams that will also have tasks, responsibilities, and things that they're trying to move the needle on a quarter by or year by basis. And it helps align a team's behavior and action all the way up through the very top. And so when you look at these, you can imagine that that OKR number one is largely kind of a CEO function. Like the CEO and his team of leaders need to figure out how they're going to go sell, raise more money. Free more people from mundane hazardous tasks is probably going to be disproportionately the sales team that's working on this. Make our product efficient to build and sell, that's going to be the software engineering hardware teams that are going to be primarily impacting that. And then the last one might be a whole lot of HR stuff, but actually everyone who's a manager should have their own specific KPIs or OKRs in that fourth one. So what you do is you might say, well, I'm in sales, so I'm going to pick this one. I'm going to develop three OKRs for my my department. So an example might be improve the pipeline, you know, increase our pipeline. And then you might have a key result that's like increase pipeline by $10 million for the year. And that's now a sub OKR of number two. So when you're cascading, you actually start to make that link between the guy who says, I'm mopping the floor, and that's helping put a man on the moon. So now I have all these things coming together. And in a minute, I'm going to show you a tool you can use if you want to. It does cost money. You don't have to. You can do this with spreadsheets too. But it'll show you how you could visualize and how you might operationalize it. So I want you to have some of these really tactical stuff available to you if you need it. But first, I want to talk about some general rules for OKRs. Number one, you don't want any more than about 4 company-wide OKRs. If you get more than 4, people are just going to be overwhelmed. You can have as few as 2 or 3. You just don't want to have more than 4. You really don't want more than about 3 OKRs per department either. So again, these things can become really overwhelming. There can be a lot of them. So you try to do your best to limit those. You also don't want more than about 3 key results per objective. This is to prevent that overwhelm. You're trying to create focus, ease, clarity, simplicity. That's a really important part of this process, that simplicity and ease. And then different people do this different ways, but I often tell people, set the expectation that we will be celebrating if you're hitting about 70% of these goals, because they're kind of meant to be ambitious and inspirational. So if you're not hitting every single one, it's okay. So you might need to set those objectives so that they're above what you know you absolutely need in order to survive. So if you're getting the, like, here's the bare minimum of survival, maybe just increase it a little bit and let people know it's okay if you only get to 70%. That's one way to manage it. It's also okay to say, no, these are the bare minimums. We got to hit 100%. You just want to make sure they're realistic. Okay, let's talk about some common mistakes. I've already alluded to some of these, and then I'll jump over to this other program to show you how it works. Confusing KPIs with OKRs. KPIs are ongoing benchmarks that determine if you're performing to standards. OKRs are time-bound things that measure progress against achieving a goal. So those are often what will happen is when you have other people try to develop their own OKRs, they will come back to you with KPIs in the key results section. And you just need to be on the lookout for, is that a thing that has a beginning and an end? And if it doesn't, how do you turn it into that has a beginning and end? So you might say, establish a framework for achieving this KPI. So it's not to say that KPIs can't be referenced, it's that you have to frame them linguistically in a way that has a beginning and an end and are measurable. Progress has to be measurable. The other one is confusing SOPs, standard operating procedures, with OKRs. SOPs are, for example, when I walked you guys through our how to have better meetings protocol, that's a standard operating procedure. So if you were to try to turn that into an OKR and say, have check-ins for every single meeting, that's not an appropriate key result. That's something that lives as a standard operating procedure, something you need to do. Now, you might say, as a key result, you could say, develop an SOP for meetings, for having better meetings. That is a totally appropriate key result. So that's the distinction between those two. So ongoing actions, describing the way workflow happens, is not the same thing as measured progress against achieving a goal. So that's what that is. And then the last one is, very often when I do this with organizations, people will have an objective and then they'll try to create some key results. They'll have no measurable metrics or tangible things, and they just read like another set of objectives. So you have to, sometimes they need to be promoted to another second objective, or sometimes they need to be rewritten so they're not an objective. So you might say improve sales. And then the next thing is refine pipeline. And you're like, well, that's not a key result. That's an objective. So can you be more specific? And so percentage of completion, if you can measure the percentage that it's been complete, that's a great metric. If you can measure the amount of money, if there's a certain number of dollars that have to be achieved, if there's a certain just number, like we need 8 new clients, okay, that's a number. We need to hire 5 new people, that's a number. You can do also just did it get complete or didn't it? But in general, I prefer things that you can see on an ongoing continuum. The last thing I'll say that can sometimes be a mistake that isn't on here is sometimes people will turn their to-do list into OKRs. That is not the point. That's going to be too confusing, too much. So OKRs are meant to be elevated, fairly long range, at minimum a quarter. So if somebody's come to you with a KPI and they're like, this is my OKR, and they could do it in a week, it's not even worth putting on an OKR. Just put it on your to-do list and get it done. The OKRs need to be longer range than that. So comments or questions about any of this before I hop over to show you a tool and how you can actually integrate something like this into an organization if you wanted to? Any comments or questions?
I'm just trying to figure out, I know that I need this because I'm at a point that if I don't have something, I'll start losing employees. I need to get more buy-in. I need to get more, And it's I'll have the revolving door. I'll get an employee and keep them for 6 months and then they'll leave. I just need to show them it's a purpose and that they're involved in that purpose, other than saying thank you and I'm grateful for them.
Yes, I agree. And this stuff does impact, especially if you operationalize it. And what I'm going to show you next is how to operationalize it. So it's quite a bit of work to actually build. It can take you a month or two to really cascade it meaningfully through an organization, have the conversations, really do the sausage making. And it really is like you tell somebody like, here's the big goal and the key result. Give me three OKRs of your own in your department or as an individual. You don't have to have departments, by the way. You can just go right from company-wide to individual, depending on the scale of your organization, right? So, but it's best when you can have individual OKRs. And you're just saying three OKRs for the next 3 months, what would they be? Or for the next year, you can do year-long or quarterly. They will come back to you with a list of things that you're going to be like, okay, that's a to-do, that's a KPI, that's an SOP, that's a to objective. And you're going to have to refine that with them because you're going to know how to do that better than them. So once you have that done, that's a huge part of the work and it's amazingly helpful. It's super animating for an organization. But then you need some way to create a ritual, a standard operating procedure to ensure these things live in the organization. So let me show you what that looks like. I'm going to use a particular tool. There are lots of tools like this. There are various price points. I've chosen one that's probably the right size. It's right sized for organizations of at least 15 people, maybe a few more than that, maybe 20, somewhere in there, 15 to 20 people. It's a really great tool. Lower than that, there are some other tools that they're all, I'd have to go research to find those, but typically I'm using this at anywhere between about 20 to 200 is where this tool gets used. And it comes from Patagonia. You may know the company Patagonia. They're actually notorious for having some of the highest employee engagement and people love working there. And the CEO there started a process he called 15-5. And the 15-5 process is that every single week, an employee will review, take 15 minutes and document what they accomplished for that week. And then a manager will take 5 minutes in the next 48 hours to review that. And there was a company that came out and built a software that was designed to support that very protocol. And I'm going to show you that software, not because I'm trying to sell you it, but just because I want you to know what a tool that exists. So this is called 15-5. So you can go to 15-5.com and find out. And what it has here is all kinds of things. It has employee engagement if you want, and you can buy it at different levels, right? So you can buy it just for objectives or just for check-ins or just for engagement. But this is a tool that I have the version that has everything. So the first thing is objectives. And I'm going to show you how these look. You can build these objectives. All right. So what I did is I took those very objectives that I just showed you for that company. This is the actual thing they have. And you can show it cascading. So create and scale a talent magnet team where people thrive. Here are the two key results. Achieve 95% intention, right? You have an owner. This guy is the owner of this thing. Free more people from mundane hazardous tasks. This guy owns that. He's the COO. So with those company-wide ones, then you have the sales and solutions team and the operations team. And one of them is maintain a healthy pipeline. The other is turn customers into raving fans of Osaro Solutions. Here's the key result. Achieve a customer satisfaction score of 95%. Here on maintain a healthy pipeline, it's maintain a quarterly pipeline of at least 10 million, sign at least 4 new partnership agreements. Out of that, you then have the individual. So Brian, he's going to have his own key results that are related to this one that all feed up into this one. So that's how that tool gets built. And you can go through each of these and show how they all cascade. Different departments, different individuals, et cetera. So that's the first thing. Then what you do is you link this. So building that is one thing. It's really helpful. But then you do check-ins. And when you institutionalize a check-in and you say, and by the way, it doesn't have to be 15 minutes. You can drop it down to 3 minutes if you want. You have options here. And so if the company, you're having a hard time getting employees to do it, the way I recommend it is you go, we're going to do a 6-week experiment where we're going to do weekly check-ins. And so I, Shane, as an employee, once a week, I get a Slack reminder that tells me to go to do my check-in. Here's what my check-in looks like. How did I feel this week at work? Well, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. Things were steady and smooth. Do I want to add anything? Yeah, had a lot accomplished. Right? Something, right? So all I'm doing is letting my manager know what's been going on, how I'm feeling. Now, a weird thing we know, when you actually check in with yourself weekly about how you feel, you're now playing in the emotional system that we've talked about. That emotional system is really powerful in driving behavior and engagement. So just that mirror once a week, we've found increases engagement scores for team members. It takes half a second. It's integrated as a part of a weekly ritual that everybody in the company is expected to do. Then my objectives are actually built into the check-in. So it's populating from this objectives tab where I built certain things and I know what I've got to do. This is Shane's objective. And I've got my key results. And what I can do is I can just report. I'm at about 20% on this key result. Sorry, for some reason, that's not working. Anyway, 25%. And I can say, yep, I'm on track or I'm behind or it's at risk. And then I'm done. That's my check-in. And my supervisor gets notified, hey, Shane had a check-in. And I can go look at it. And then I can look at it and say, you know what? You're actually, I think he's behind. So I'm going to add that to a one-on-one. I'm going to add that agenda item to a one-on-one, and then you can have a one-on-one. But just to keep it really simple, the only thing that I recommend that's required is build the objectives and make sure you have check-ins. And a tool like this automates a lot of these things, so they're all together. And by the way, then that automates employee and performance later. So you have a continual track record of someone's performance over time, and you can populate it in their performance reviews. Not that you have to do all this, right? These are all features that are available. Point in saying all this is if you want, you can just leave it there. Or you can add things like, what are your priorities for this week? You can add questions. What went well this week? What was your biggest challenge? How can I help? Are there any project or issues you're worried about, either in the short or long term? You don't have to do any of these, right? You can customize these. But the point is, that's a check-in. And at the end, you can give a high five. You want to add somebody and say, hey, this person in the company did great at this. This becomes another foundational practice in your life as an organization. Having regular meetings, those tactical meetings that I helped you design, and having a connection between regular cadence check-ins that don't take very much time, connected with your OKRs. That's when you have a really high functioning team and system. So I think that was a slightly longer training than normal, but I just wanted to give you guys some of that. Questions or comments about this tool before I, it doesn't have to be this tool, but just this whole idea, this structure.
I'm trying to figure out how I would use that with my employees that are more of a service-based industry, like virtual reception and medical billing and that stuff. It's hard to develop something that you can check in with them that is in three, you know, over 3 months. You're going to reach these benchmarks. You're going to reach this or give them a project. So I'm just trying to figure out how to put that into almost a business that they're really not responsible for bringing on new clients, because that's the only way they can grow their business, but still make it worthwhile to them.
How do you know someone is performing well in the role that they're in?
We finally started our billers. We've given them a collection rate that we want them to try to collect at least $200,000, $250,000 a month for their providers. But that's even contingent on, is there enough patients coming in? For our AR specialist, we want them to get through 80 to 100 lines of outstanding claims, you know, called on and followed up on. And I know those are more performance indicated, but that's We know they're performing well and there's less complaints. The client aging report is down less than 10% of what the total balance owed. The patient, the insurance aging is less than 10%. I mean, we're all hitting them well. I have an auditor that goes in and makes sure things are being submitted and stuff like that. So it's just, I want something like this. I think they need something like this to a goal for them to achieve, because the billers have it and already they're just, we rolled this out to them last month and the billers are like, I hit $1,000 this month already. And I mean, giving them a number, they craved it. I just don't know how to get that number for, say, my receptionists. I have people that actually virtually answer the phone and schedule doctor's appointments for people with a doctor. So that's contingent on how many emails and phone calls they get. I don't know if it's something you need to schedule 100 new patients a month.
Yeah, you are talking just a little bit more like a KPI style, which is okay. What I would suggest is first start with and see if you can develop a couple of company-wide OKRs with you and your senior team. You and Jessica maybe get together and you just go, if we were to dream up what we want the next 2 years, what we want to achieve, what would be those 3-4 big things that we know we want to achieve? See if you can articulate them in a way that makes sense. See if you can identify a couple of key results for each if you haven't already done that.
My thing is more for my employees now. This sounds really weird, is we did 1.1. I want to do at least 2 million by the end of this year, but at least 1 million by half of the year, but I want to provide insurance and a retirement plan. That's the goal that I want to be more employee driven than customer driven, because I figure that the customer driven will come with it. But I need my employees to buy in so they can all, you know.
Yeah, I think what I'm suggesting is
I'm in a strange position. Yeah. My company wasn't built because I needed the money or whatever. It is built because I love what I do, and it grew because of the love of what I do. I don't just depend on it for income like a lot of people do.
Right.
But I love my employees being taken care of.
Yeah. So all of that's great. What I'm trying to help you with is to understand that this business has a life force and a purpose in the world that is independent of you even. Mm-hmm. And so you want to ask the question, what's the soul of this organization that's not just Davia's company? Like, what is it doing for the world? So module one will teach you to build a why. Okay, good. So the why is really important to get through. And then a secondary piece could be mission and values. But the third piece is big goals that are inspirational and purpose-driven that have concrete key results that you can work towards motivates people far more than not knowing what those goals are. And you just saying, we want to get employee benefits. That's a goal. It's a goal. It's a valid goal. There's nothing wrong with that goal, but you could probably level that up quite a bit in terms of how you articulate it and think about it. And so that's all I'm trying to push you to do. I'm trying to challenge a little bit. And it is, by the way, effort. It would require you sitting down and going, spending some time with it, thinking through it and asking the question, what are those things that I would love to achieve? How do I push that and make that even more aspirational? How do I get that as aspirational as possible? And then what are the things that I know will mean we're moving towards that? And that is distinct from, though related to, KPIs. So for example, you might decide one of your OKRs for a quarter is inspire our admin assistants. Great. That's a really good OKR for your company. Inspire your assistants, because you just told me that's what you want more of, maybe. So then what's a key result? Develop a set of KPIs so that they know they're performing. So that can be a key result, is referencing developing a KPI. So you might say develop KPIs, or you might say create a rewards program where if they do this, that, and the other thing, they get this. Or you might say create a protocol where admin assistants are regularly checked in with, or things like that, right? That's the way that an OKR is meant to be built. Now, it's possible that OKRs are not the primary way that you're going to solve for what you're talking about, right? I'm just letting you know how it could be connected, and it might be the game changer for you, but it's also possible that you might need to think about it differently. And so, so I just want to flag that for you, that this is one solution that you can experiment with and ask yourself, could this further align people and make them feel connected to a greater purpose in the life of the organization? And is that something you even want to do?
I'm not sure yet, but you're making me think, just saying.
Yeah, good. That's my goal. Make you think and play with it. Reflect on it. Not everything that I introduce in this program is implementable in every context, nor is it appropriate at every stage. Eventually, over the lifespan of an organization, everything that I teach is appropriate at a certain point. And so it could be that this isn't the most urgent thing for you right now. You might have bigger fish to fry and you can get to this in a year. That's fine too. But a lot of what I did today was I wanted to make you solution aware. You now as a business leader know that there is an entire process and a body of knowledge and a set of tools that help people get work done and boost engagement. Whether you choose to use it or not, it's not a make or break, but it is something that happens with organizations that are trying to scale. This, and it's really helpful when you do it early in a scaling process rather than once you have a bigger company and then it's really hard to back engineer. You can do it. It's just harder work. Okay. Other comments, questions about anything? It can be about what I just presented, or it could just be what's going on in your world and you just want some coaching or interaction. Also, feel free, any of you who feel you've done some version of this and what it was like for you, or if you have a different method that you want to talk about, that's fine too. You know, I'm not, in this case, I don't come to you saying this is the only way and the right way. It's a way that I found effective, but it's not the only way.
Can I share my screen? I think we have one over here, and I wish it was more like the way you showed us, right? But this is the version that my leadership's working off of, right? So we've got our buckets, which don't have like a statement to go with them. These are just the buckets we're working on. I work in HR, everybody, for those of you. So we've got like all the little programs that we're going to run out, which I'm looking at it. And like you said, looking at it, like, this looks overwhelming. There's a lot of items here. Just like you were saying, where you're like, you should only have three things in here. So, and it goes down to the KPIs, right? Of how we're going to measure those. But this is similar, right, Shane?
Totally. It's identical. It's just not well built, in my opinion. Like it's, and by the way, the only reason it's not well built is not because I have some abstract biblical philosophy that it has to be a certain way. It's because I know how it functions in organizational life week in and week out. And if this just lives in a PowerPoint or a Word document somewhere once a year, you're going to revisit it. It just doesn't inform what's happening in your life as an organization. And if you want it to live in your life on a week in, week out, or month in, month out basis, it's got to feel light and easy. And that's just the psychology of work. Like, you have to create things that are enjoyable to interact with. And so, you know, again, I'm not saying, Sierra, this is something you got to go fix. I'm just letting you know, whoever the powers that be are, if they aren't integrating this meaningfully in weekly check-ins or monthly check-ins or some process that is designed to be really light lifting, but remind people that it's happening on a regular cadence, this is just a whole lot of work that kind of gets marginalized. It's about 10% effective at a certain point.
Yeah. So is a question on this, like, is there, this is for our whole year. So this is the entire year of 2023. Is there a world where you take this and you package it in quarters?
Yes. Yes. In fact, when you go to 15.5, every objective you create, and then the key results accordingly, but the whole thing, you can decide what the time frame is of that objective. So you might have company-wide objectives that last for a whole year. And then within that, you might have a departmental objective that's just one quarter, and another one that's two quarters, and another one that's the whole year. And then you might have an individual that's all quarterly. And you're just like, right now for this quarter, this is what I got to achieve. And then next quarter, I'll create three new OKRs relative to this big one, and I'll work against that. And so, yeah, absolutely breaking things down. And so that's why a tool like 15.5 can help make that easier. Lattice is another one. I don't think Office Vibe does OKRs. I think they're trying to start. There's a bunch of them. I like 15.5. I've been really pleased with them. It was a new tool to me. It was a tool that this company had already used just for their employee performance. And I knew that I needed to introduce all this stuff. So I was like, well, I'll learn this new tool. And sure enough, it's worked beautifully. So I'm pleased with it. But thank you for sharing that, Sierra. I think that's great for everybody else to see that, you know, companies use this and actually operationalize around it.
Yeah, our whole HR leadership team is going off of this. And I'm just like, I need the slimmed down version that tells me what we're doing right now, not, you know, this is very aspirational.
You might try to manage up a little bit on this, and you might just suggest, hey, here's a tool 15.5, you know, show them a few video clips of how it can flow and work. You might show, you know, sort of capture some of what I did on this training and say, hey, been doing some research. Here are some best practices on how to make OKRs really work more effectively in a team, all that kind of stuff. So maybe worth trying.
I'll try.
Awesome.
Shane, what's your take on, we've been implementing EOS from Traction. Any kind of shortcomings to be aware of in that system? We've been liking it so far.
I think it's a great system. Yeah, I don't have a lot of critiques about it. I think it's a good kind of practical, tactical thing. It does all the blocking and tackling really well. There are moments for some organizations that's a little over-engineered, depending on what stage you're at as a life cycle. So the only problem with EOS is that I think it's really beautiful for certain life stages of an organization. So kind of steps in at a certain size and scale. And I think it's overkill for organizations that are too small. And I think it's underutilized for organizations that scale beyond that. So, which I think they even admit. I mean, they even would say it's the entrepreneur's operating system. So it's meant for kind of small businesses. There are, like, I would say there are certain things about it though that won't capitalize on the things I just showed you. So what I'm showing you, I haven't seen EOS do quite as well in certain areas, but
got it. Okay.
I like what you're doing, but you might consider integrating some of this. If you're looking at this and you're like, actually, you know what, this might be an even better system to think through using. What have you been liking about it? Where are you in the process?
So they recommend just doing it with the leadership team for a few quarters before rolling out to everyone. So basically John and I have been doing it for 2 quarters now. So we do, my favorite part about it has been the level 10 weekly meeting. It's basically their like kind of cadence for weekly meetings. And part of it is reviewing the rocks. So the, you know, the, OKRs basically. And we found that to be like the first time we did one of those like level 10 meetings, we're like, wow, this was a more productive meeting than we've ever had in, you know, our time as a company. So it's been good.
That's great. I love it. Glad to hear that. Good. Other comments, questions, what else is coming up for you? Doesn't have to just be around this, can be any part of your business and life.
Jessica and I started having strategy meetings with our team. They actually started this week, and we followed your template that you gave us. But we actually broke our team up. Instead of having 22, we have maybe 7 to 8 people, depending on their job description. We've had the first 2 today, and everybody loved it.
Oh, good.
It was a safe space. They loved that there was structure and form around the agenda. There's a time limit. They each got to speak. The first thing that everybody said was, we love hearing everybody else talk.
Yeah.
So far so good. No one said they wanted to stop it. They all said that they wanted them to continue. So my question though is how often should I have them all together? Quarterly, monthly? Because I don't want them to segregate so much, but I want them to also be a part of a company, not just a team.
Yes.
So, describe for me why you broke it up into 2 and what roles are in each.
My intake coordinators are basically my phone virtual minute receptions together. My billers actually do medical billing are together. And my accounts receivable, my AR, the ones that follow up with the claims. They're each in a team together, but they all have specific job things that they do together. So that when we're talking, a lot of the times I may be saying something the billers need to be doing that has nothing to do with the intake coordinators, yeah, or vice versa. And what I found today was that when we had, this is the first time we've ever really split them up that way. Comprehension's a lot better. Participation is a lot better, but having the more of the structure and encouraging them to talk, a lot of them are finding they have the same problems. But the problems a biller may have may not be the same problems that intake people may have.
Sure, yeah. I probably, you're kind of at a scale where you're in between, but in general, what I would say is, I don't think that you have to have everybody together very often. Honestly, at a certain point, I would do like, that would be more like town halls rather than like tactical meetings.
Okay.
So town halls, how you get everybody together, and it's a little bit more celebratory, some recognition, some updates, but the actual work isn't going to happen well at a town hall. The actual tactical weekly meetings, I think you've broken it up properly for now. There may come a time, if you scale, where you could promote an individual into each of those camps, and they then populate an executive kind of weekly tactical meeting so that each one represents each of the groups.
And I've actually proposed that to them, that's where I want to grow, to give them some idea that I want someone to be a supervisor or a leader out of this group to eventually, I mean, I'm trying to get ready for it because I want to be a CEO. I don't want to be a worker bee anymore.
Yeah, you want to be an owner, not an employee. Yeah, absolutely. So that's one thing I would suggest you might be on the verge of, is just continue to play with that. And then you'd have weekly tactical meetings only with those senior leaders. And you'd have monthly town halls with the entire company. And those are run a little differently than tactical meetings.
Well, we go over that because I was thinking quarterly, honestly, and I was going to try to do one as goals for the company, or what I look for, or what I want to do with the company, which directions, and just give them some ideas.
I think a monthly town hall is probably better and lower light lifting. Like, you don't have to make it a big undertaking. It can be less than an hour. It's a 45-minute town hall. You want to spend a certain portion of it celebrating and recognizing people. So that's a morale builder. You're spending time, you're going to celebrate people who have had the highest number of this, or somebody who achieved this with their values or whatever. You're going to celebrate, and then you're going to inform. And so you might decide you're going to do some training. You might decide you're going to do some vision stuff. You might decide you're going to talk about OKRs. You're going to introduce that, or you might introduce a new tool. So town halls are a really nice container when you have a team of, 20 or 30, when you can't have everybody in a tactical meeting. Is just going to be too much and too boring, and not everybody's going to be able to participate. So I tend to separate town halls and weekly tacticals that way. And you can do it quarterly too, see how it goes. It might just feel, people start to feel disconnected. Sometimes when you do it quarterly, you got to lift heavier, you got to spend longer. So I would have a conversation with maybe Jessica and you, just brainstorm about which cadence is right, and how do we make it so that it's engaging and really useful for our purposes?
Okay. Thank you.
I mean, I definitely would love to get your perspective on my situation, but I want to let everyone else go. If anyone feels like I asked a lot.
No, fire away.
Yeah. Okay. So it's just such a, I just feel so terrible for, this new team member, because, she's having this health issue that's completely out of her control, right as she's starting a new job. Like, I just can't even imagine. Like, I've really been trying to, be really delicate, because I'm so empathetic for what she's going through. But from a business perspective, it's definitely like worrying, because it's like, if this doesn't kind of resolve itself, then, it's going to be hard for her to kind of fulfill like the kind of core tenet of the job description. So, what we've started doing is, we're onboarding her now, basically just on the back end, but not, putting, like, this was Jackie's suggestion, was, just onboard her, you know, let her start getting used to the clients and used to how you do things and everything on the back end, and, you know, wait to start introducing her to clients until, you know, there's more clarity and kind of what's going on. But yeah, it's just unfortunate.
So talk me through what your concern is. I don't really know the status of,
well, this my concern is that, you know, the foundation of this position is to be on all of our client calls and all of our internal calls and really be like the central hub of everything happening in the company. And so, you know, with this, you know, this vertigo that she's dealing with, you know, if that happens, it's like, you know, it wipes out, you know, half a day or whatever, where, you know, she really is kind of debilitated by it. So I feel vertigo is horrible. I don't know if you've ever dealt with it or like know anyone who has, but it's, I mean, just really debilitating. You're dizzy. You can't really see, you know, it's really tough. And so, yeah, I mean, just the concern is that like reliability to like be on calls is huge. And so, I mean, we already had to like push her start date back, you know, a week, and then this happened like the morning she was supposed to start. So she wasn't able to be on the team call, you know, as planned to kind of introduce her to everyone. And so, yeah, I guess the concern is like her ability to like,
okay,
central hub. Yeah.
I didn't realize how serious it was. That's why I was confused. I'm like, I get that. Now I get it. I think that, it's probably important for you to have a really honest, direct, open conversation early, since you've now had two false starts that have had considerable time investment, you know, getting a retreat to start everything off and for her to not be able to be there, that's materially harming the business. And waiting and saying, oh, I want to introduce you. No, we can't introduce you. I mean, I get it. If it's like you were sick once or twice, no problem, but this is a chronic condition. So, I'm assuming it's chronic.
Well, she dealt with this like 2 or 3 years ago, and it went on for about a month. And then in Canada, it like takes forever to get in to see doctors. So by the time she actually got to a doctor, it had just resolved itself and gone away. So now this is, you know, 2.5 years later, and it's all of a sudden happening again. And so we did have like a very, so her and Jackie and I actually all talked together on Monday, once she was feeling better, and, you know, really just said like, you know, I asked her like, do you think that it's, you know, you should focus on your health right now? You know, the most important thing is her feeling better and, you know, taking care of herself. And, you know, so obviously we hired her out of a very competitive process. Like we want her. And so I reiterated like, look, like nothing's changed on our end. Like we hired you, we chose you, we, you know, we want you. You know, at the same time, you know, it's, unsettling, you know, from a company perspective, because, you know, this job is so client facing. And so in order to, you know, for me to feel confident putting you in front of clients, you know, I need to know that you're going to be able to, you know, be there as scheduled and be attentive and curious and, you know, leaning into those conversations. And, you know, even though this is no fault of anyone, like that is an uncertainty right now. So you basically said, like, I want to be transparent that I am feeling unsettled to kind of pull you fully into this role right now. You know, so we need to kind of see how it unfolds. But like, I told Jackie, I was like, look, like, I mean, she quit her job of 4 years to come work for us. And like, we do, like, we want her, like, we want her in this position. And the last 2 days have been great. You know, just kind of starting to onboard her. You know, it's been such a reminder of why we hired her and chose her. So, yeah, it's just, and it's delicate because it's a health issue. So it's,
yeah, sure,
it's tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, once you said it lasted a month, that was different. I was under the impression it's like a chronic thing. She can't, you know,
control
and those, and that's different. You know, I would say set the clock for 30 days and do what Jackie's suggesting. And if it persists after 30 days and you, then it's a different conversation. Then you say, I don't mean like fire her. I just mean like you say, hey, we're a small business. We're not in a position where we can have sort of senior positions just paid for, but we're not able to perform. It's not your fault, but we've got to negotiate a new way forward so that it works for both of us. Yeah. And right now it's not working for us. So I think that's just a frame for you, and we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. I think for now you're okay. I don't need to take you through the whole conversation, but a simple version is we've got to find a way that works for both of us. Yeah. Right now it's not working for us.
Yeah.
And that's a helpful phrase for her to flag for her. Like, oh, okay, it's working for me that I have all the flexibility that I need and I've got a paycheck and I can manage my health. That works great for me, but it's not working for them. So if it's not working for them, our interest is to negotiate something that does work for both of us.
Yeah.
And that's another kind of important frame there, is just to kind of state that. So it's a gentler way of flagging, hey, I want this to work for both of us. It's not working for us. The goal is to get it to work for both of us.
Yeah.
And I want to have that conversation.
Okay. And then I'm impressed with how she's handled this. It's been impressive the way she's kind of handled all of it. So definitely good signs there. So fingers crossed.
Yeah. And I know Jackie, and I know what you've been through to get her. And so I'm also like, I don't want to eject early, but like, there may come a point at which you're just like, this is not a tenable business position. And so that may mean we need to reduce her salary for a period of time until she's able to be on, and we need other kinds of support. You know, that's later down the road, but I think, I'm sorry, it's a complicated situation. That's no fun for anybody. Hard on her, hard on you. That's no fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not sure I helped you much there other than to
you get validation that, you know, Jackie's advice was, you know, solid and sound.
I think it's the right place to start for sure. Yeah. Yep. Yes. Keep going and assume the best and hope for the best. And then I can help you once you, along with Jackie, probably can help you with what's coming. So
thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Others. Who else has something that's going on? What's the latest? Okay.
We're actually going through a accreditation process with our school, and we've already got NACE accreditation. Now we're working on a Christian accreditation. So we're having to reevaluate our vision, mission, values, and all that stuff. So we've been working as a team today, and it was pretty successful today. We defined it and made it more simple because we had too many words, too many sentences, all that stuff in it. And so we defined it. And so I was really pleased, and we all were on the same page. I was like, what do you guys think? How do we do it? And the last time I did it, I kind of wrote it and said, what do you guys think? You know, just kind of just told them that's how it's going to be. And this time, because of you, I was like, okay, I just want you guys' input. How do we make this happen? We need to define it in pretty much in one sentence that people know exactly what our vision, our mission is. And our values were too long. They were seven of them, and I got it down to four. Three is probably better. Perfect. But I got it down to
four. Is great.
Okay.
Four is really good. I think you should be really happy with four. Okay. I almost always ask for four because values create polarities.
Okay.
What that means is there can be pairs that function as opposites to create balance.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, if you have one value, which is creativity, you might want another one that's accountability, right? Creativity, right, when you push it too far, gets kind of wild. Accountability, right, is what anchors. If you only have accountability, it gets lifeless, right? So that's how you create kind of a breathing in, breathing out heartbeat of an organization. And then you might have another one that's community focused, connection or whatever. And then you might have another that, you know, so that helps with some polarity stuff. If you want to share your values, I'm happy to give you input if you want. Do you want to share them or no?
Yeah, we're still rewriting it. So when I get it all pretty, I'll send it to you. So because this happened yesterday. So
if you want to send it to me before it's all pretty, I can give you input before it gets finalized.
Okay.
Because there will be things that I know.
Okay. I'll send it later today. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's totally fine.
Okay, yeah. I'll send it. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
And what we may do is we'll just review it on the call next week.
Okay.
So
I'll have it ready. Okay. I'll have it ready. Okay. Thank you.
Did you get a chance to watch module one, which is all about the vision and values? Is that where you got it from? Okay, good.
Yep. That's where I got it from.
I'm loving it. I'm loving it. It's so awesome.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
Most welcome. Good. Anybody else have anything?
I'll just note, Shane, to your earlier comments about EOS, it occurred to me after we stopped talking that what you said is exactly why I've had trouble implementing it with Jim and I with the gig. It's just way too much for like where we are right now. So your comment was a kind of light bulb moment about why that hasn't been working as well.
Yeah, I think it's totally appropriate to dial it back. I mean, honestly, I would probably say you're on the very, even with Needle's Eye, I think you're just sort of before needing it, which is fine. It's not going to harm you to, you are headed there. And so it's totally fine to do. There are simpler ways to achieve some of the same stuff. You know, one of the things that happens when you get any kind of a discipline, like a particular sellable course, is that people get pretty devoted to building an entire system that sells better, but ultimately doesn't always necessarily function. And so I tend to kind of cherry pick things that I think work or don't work, or I tailor it to what I see. So EOS has elements of that where I'm like, overkill, that's unnecessary, not at this stage, not in this context, maybe this later, this other tool works better than EOS there. So I tend to be a little more like that versus like, it's sort of like, you'll know this, like ClickFunnels 2 is basically like, we're going to do everything. And you're like, well, you do everything, but not all of it really that well. Like you're kind of good at most of it. And there's one of the things that you're amazing at, but this other pieces, there are other tools that do it better and you can integrate it pretty easily. So
that makes sense.
So that's some of what EOS is. When you're saying like, we're going to give you the entire operating system for your business, you're like, maybe. So I think it's good for you to have just a little bit of a question. And being this course, this program actually helps you benchmark some other things. So you might be like, actually, that tool seems a little better. Or you might be like, actually, EOS, I like better than what Shane's presenting, which is great. It's fine.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So I think it's good for you to get that exposure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, there's chats. I wasn't looking at chats. All right. No questions there. Other questions?
One question about your videos. When we record these, we're having a hard time accessing them after, even when you send your link, like for last week's, it didn't go, I guess that website wasn't updated or something.
Oh, that's possible. Let me just check. It's possible that my integrator didn't get to it on time. Those emails are automated. So I just need to check with her. Okay. Did anybody else try to look for that? Or is that, you know, maybe you.
I'll just reassure you, Davia. I had the same problem when I first joined the program. It'll get resolved.
Okay.
Thanks for letting me know that. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I think what she's saying sounds exactly like, you log into the website and it doesn't really have any sections. You're just logged in. Right, Davia?
Wait a minute.
Yeah, no, that's, I guess, different. It shows the old ones. It shows up to December. Debbie, what does it show? Debbie's the one, Debbie missed last week and she was biting at the bit to get to see, because we were so excited about the meetings, telling her about what we were going to try to do. And she missed our excitement.
It's not on there.
It's still not up. It's still not up.
Not, you know, as it is. Yesterday. All it shows is the December one.
I need to verify that I recorded. There was one week where I forgot to. It automatically records, and sometimes I pause before everybody gets on, and then I hit record again. And I may have not recorded. That's a possibility too. It would have been on me. My mistake. But I will follow up with Amy, who kind of gives all the support to the back end to make sure that it's happening the way you need to. But Sierra, it sounds like you're talking about something different.
Yeah, totally was. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. I want to make, is it solved?
I'm good.
You have? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I want to make sure. That's good. Yeah, we were having other issues.
So the template and stuff you showed last week, that's in that recording from last week?
The template I showed last week. What did we talk about last week? I can't remember.
And I'm trying to remember now too.
It wasn't better meetings, was it? Let me see here.
Yeah, it was meetings last week.
Yeah.
It was? Yeah. Yes. Everything about that is in module 4.
It's in module 4. Okay.
That's, so I can just questions about any of that. You can go through that. It has the download workbook. It has all the videos that'll go deeper. And then anytime you have questions about how to run that, bring them back here, you know. And I would say, like, Davia, one of the things I would make sure happens for you as you're introducing weekly meetings is one thing you should never skip is the like best next time. That section at the end, that's going to be the fastest way to evolve that protocol so that it's yours.
Okay.
So it's totally unique to your company.
Okay.
So could you go over that real quick? Like best next. We did ask them what they talked about.
So, what we call it is like best next time. And all it means is everybody goes around and you do an active pass. So that means that if you don't want to say anything, you have to say the word pass. I pass. Oh, wait, I think Davia, are you there? I'm seeing you enter a second time. Just want to make sure I'm answering your question and you're hearing me. Davia, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, cool. So what I was saying is we do an active pass. At the very end of the meeting, you leave 5 minutes and you say, everybody has to do an active pass. That means if you don't want to say something, you say pass, and then it goes to the next person. You just go around the room and you say, what did you like best about this meeting? And what would you like to see different next time? And if you have nothing to say, just say pass.
Okay.
And so you say, I like this. Oh, Jessica says you did it last time and they loved it. Okay, perfect. So that's awesome. And as you go, it'll become more clear how to make it better. And for some people, they just install it and it works perfectly for their organization and they don't have to evolve it very much.
And that's
I always ensure.
Sorry.
A module four. That's a module four.
Okay.
Middle section, it's how to have better meetings. It's there's probably four or five videos on it. And then there's a downloadable workbook that you can kind of use as a cheat sheet. You can print it out and run the meeting looking at it so that you're not like, oh, now we're at this point.
Okay. Perfect. Okay.
It fit perfectly for us because it allowed some people to say things and act in certain ways that they never would have in a bigger group. We even have one cry because she's having a bad week. And it was so nice to see everybody rally around her.
That's beautiful.
You know what I mean? Just things like that she wouldn't have done in a bigger group or whatever. And to see that everybody was feeling the same way she was, but I just told her how brave she was by doing it, you know, and courageous. Same thing with another group. I'm curious about tomorrow. Tomorrow's my trouble girls. Tomorrow's my they're not really trouble, but my lone wolves, that their AR people don't really like working with the public. They like being on the phone. They like doing everything on their own. They're very they don't need a lot of direction and they don't like sharing. Like staying in their little lane. So having them, it's going to be interesting with that one. So I'm curious.
And it's okay if it takes a few weeks for them to get warmed up to it. It's pretty normal for people to kind of the first couple of tries at a meeting protocol like this, for them to be like, not that engaged, wondering why they're doing it. Oh, this feels forced. What are we doing? So you count yourself lucky that it was actually really well received right off the bat. And if it isn't well received right off the bat, don't worry about it. Give it a few weeks and it'll start to cohere. Awesome.
Okay,
so next week we start at the beginning.
Okay.
And so some of you have already dove into module one, but I'm gonna pull out and highlight some big key things that I think are foundational to everything that I talk about in the program that'll help inform you as a leader. So we look forward to doing that together. Any other comments or questions? We got 10 minutes. I'm happy to stick around, but also happy to give you time back if there's no other comments or questions.
I think I'm good.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. I'll do an active pass. All right. Going once, going twice, sold. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Great to be with you. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.